Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, and we will read verse 13. This is God speaking. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. It is Mother's Day, and we feel led of the Lord to give a word associated with the occasion. Mother's Day, like any other day set apart for tribute, though it is a happy occasion for many, I believe we also need to be aware that it is also a painful day for some. And though the message today has some association with mothers, the central focus of the message is not upon mothers, but upon God. In our text, we have a word portrait of God as the comforter of His people. And that's what we want to preach upon this morning. A portrait of God as a comforter of His people. The book of Isaiah has three major sections. The first section would be chapters 1 through 35. And in that section, you would find messages of condemnation because of sin. The second section is chapters 36 through 39. And what you have in those chapters is a historical interlude. The third section, which begins with chapter 40, going through the end of the book, chapter 66, consists of messages of comfort, messages of consolation. In the second section, the historical interlude, it ended with God foretelling that His people would go into Babylonian captivity. We see that in chapter 40, verses 5 through 7. And then the 40th chapter begins the section of comfort and consolation. And it opens with a commission. In verse 1 to Isaiah, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Again, that follows the announcement that they would be going into Babylonian captivity. But those words, comfort ye, my people, sets the tone for this final section of the book of Isaiah. This section of the book, again, consists of messages of comfort, messages of deliverance for God's people. In this section, you will find that Isaiah assures the people of God, of God's love, God's care for them. He assures them of God's faithfulness to His promises, to His plans, to His purposes concerning His people. And in so doing, Isaiah paints a portrait of God in these chapters. He presents God as being accessible. He presents God as eternal, as faithful, as glorious, as holy and just and kind and long-suffering, as loving and merciful and powerful and righteous and true, unequaled, unsearchable, and all-wise. Coming to chapter 66, Isaiah is addressing a special remnant of God's people. In verse 2, we see who he is addressing. Him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. This is who he's addressing. In verse 5, he mentions it again. Ye that tremble at his word. And I pray that we belong to this remnant today. A people of a broken and of a poor and contrite spirit that trembles at the word of God. If we belong to that remnant today, then our text verse applies to you and I. He opens in verse 1 by presenting the greatness of God in a figurative manner. He's sitting on a throne in heaven, and the earth is his footstool. That speaks of the immensity of God. Get that picture in your mind, a throne in heaven, the earth is my footstool. And everything in between, there is God. Then in verse 2, we have a reminder that God is the creator of all things. Yet, he stoops down to minister to this remnant. Notice verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. To this man will I minister, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. So we have here a beautiful portrait of the character of Almighty God. We see that he's immense, but we see that he looks to a certain man. Those who are poor, a contrite spirit and trembles at his word. The Bible, of course, is full of such portraits. All through the Bible, God inspired men to paint word portraits of some part or aspect of God's character. And this is what we have in our text. God gives us these word portraits to help us to understand the character of God. But it is important to remember, in all of these portraits, they all pale in comparison to who God really is. They're just there to help us to understand. In our text, verse 13, we have the words, as, and so will I. And as in all these word pictures, this speaks of manner, not degree. Not degree. Three times in our text, we have the word comfort. Twice we have the word comfort, and then we have the third, comforted. The word comfort conveys the idea of help. It conveys the idea of support, of encouragement. Has the meaning of that which soothes and reassures, bringing tranquility and contentment. And again, what we see here in Isaiah 66, verse 13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. This is a picture of God comforting his people. So let's first consider our need of comfort. We as God's people stand in constant need of comfort, of special comfort, of comfort that only God can give, Although we are favored by God, chosen by His sovereignty, called by His grace into a state of acceptance with God, we must live in a world that is filled with sin. We must live in a world that is saturated with satanic influence. A world where Satan seeks to devour you and I. A place where we are bombarded with and exposed to the vile agenda of Satan. This world is a place of mockers and despisers of that which is of God. It is a place where the godly will be ridiculed. It is a place of spiritual desolation. It is a spiritually barren place. It is a place of indifference and coldness toward God and His ways. It is a wicked, degenerate, perverted place. It is a place where all is moving feverishly after the godless philosophies and reasonings and viewpoints and goals and pursuits of this world. This world that we live in is a place filled with complications. It is a place of many entanglements, stumbling blocks, and obstacles. It is a place that can leave us maimed with many wounds and with many scars. It is a place where so many of God's people have become so distracted, so entangled and consumed with the affairs of life that they cannot worship and serve God. This world is a very unsettled place. It is a place of great restlessness, a place where we are surrounded by needs, by cares, by burdens, by difficulties and sorrows and trials. And on top of all of this, we live in this world encumbered by bodies of sinful flesh and infirmities. This world is a place, believe it or not, that is set against man's comfort, man's joy, man's peace, and tranquility of mind. It is set against the overall good of man. We are a needy people. And we, as God's people living in this world, in these sinful bodies of flesh, we need help. We need support. We need uplifting and encouragement, assurance. That which brings tranquility and contentment in a world that is tossed to and fro. And some may ask, where is this love? Where is this care? Where is this comfort and help? Where can we find this? Well, to find and experience this, let me assure you this. You do not need to search from one end of the world to the other. You do not need to search through all the rubbish of this world. You do not need to search among the broken cisterns or the muddy waters. You do not need to search among the ruins. You do not need to search among the philosophies of the world. You do not need to search among the pursuits and the pleasures and the riches, or even amongst the promises of this world. But listen, Listen to what God says. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort thee, or you, and ye shall be comforted. No need to search throughout the world for this comfort. God is our comfort this day. For those that are poor and of a contrite spirit and that tremble at God's word, these individuals find comfort in God. Which brings us to our second point. God is our comforter. We need comfort, and God is our comforter. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul wrote that God is the Father of mercies. He has to be in order to comfort us. He is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. The God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation. And in our text in Isaiah 66 and 13, when the Lord describes His comfort, He uses the analogy and the illustration of a mother. Of a mother. All through the Word of God, masculine pronouns are used to describe God. But in illustrating the tender and compassionate love, care, comfort, and help that God gives to His people, He uses the analogy and the illustration of a mother. There are many mirrors used throughout the Word of God to reflect the character of God, such as shield that reflects some aspect of God's character, refuge, fortress, fountain. All of these reflect some character, some attribute of God. There's the word Father, reflecting the person of God. King, judge, friend. But in speaking of the aspect of His comfort, it is mother. That is the mirror that reflects God's comfort. Mother. Our text is not the only place in Scripture where the analogy and illustration of a mother is used to reflect God. Several times the analogy and illustration of a mothering bird is used to reflect God. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 or 31 verses 11 and 12, God says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. In Psalm 57 and verse 1, the psalmist declared, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. And in Psalm 61 and 4, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. And in Psalm 91 and verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Jesus also used this analogy and illustration. In Matthew 23 and verse 37, he said, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. and you would not. That mother bird stretches out her wings to cover her brood. And praise be to God, we can cuddle up to God. That's the picture that we have here. We can cuddle up to God. There's no way of understanding this but by these mirrors that God gives us. In Isaiah 49 and verse 15, God asks a question. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she would not have compassion on the son of her womb? And then hear him declare, yea, they may forget. It's not natural. It's not natural for a mother to forget her child. It's not natural. But it does happen. Sadly, it does happen. But it's not natural. That is not the God-given instinct of a mother to forget her child. But it does happen. And God says, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Once again, in drawing the analogy, he's not speaking of degree, because God surpasses in degree. In considering the analogy and illustration of a mother in describing the comfort of God, consider that the Bible in many places does reveal the nature of a mother's heart. When God created Eve, He created her as what? A helpmeet. And may I say that is the God-given instinct of a woman, to help. They don't all help, but that is a God-given instinct. And when it comes to mothers, a mother's heart has a desire to have children. Genesis 30 and verse 1, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, she said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. There was a strong desire for children. A mother's heart is determined to protect her children. As an example of such, there's many examples, but consider Jochebed, the mother of Moses. She protected Moses. A mother's heart is willing to sacrifice. This is just God-given instinct. In the days of Solomon, we know that one woman whose baby had died took the infant of another and replaced him with her dead infant. And there was a dispute as to whom the living child belonged to. And Solomon, knowing the nature of a mother's heart, to prove who the mother was, we read in 1 Kings 3, verses 24 and 25, he says, bring me a sword. Again, he knows the nature of a mother's heart. And they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, divide the living child in two. Cut that infant in half. And give the half to the one and the half to the other. And the mother immediately and fervently spoke up in verse 26. O Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. And then Solomon knew who the mother was. A mother's heart teaches her children. Proverbs 31 and verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Again, in our text, Isaiah 66 and verse 13 and in several other places, when God desires to reflect in some degree His tenderness, His compassion, His love, His care, His comfort, He uses the analogy and the illustration of a mother. Have you ever noticed that if a child is hurting, mom and dad can both be standing there, equal distance from the child. And most of the time, that hurting child is going to cry out for mom. Is going to run to mom. Why? That child knows the tenderness and the sympathy of mom. That child knows that if they want sympathy more, you got a better chance with mom than you do dad. That child knows that. A mother has a God-given unique ability to comfort. The list of the comforting ways of a mother is long, and it's not our purpose. But as long as that list might be, the comforting ways of God are inexhaustible. A mother's love is special. It's unique. But there is no love more special, more unique than God's love. It is a love that is eternal. Talking about God's love. It is uninfluenced. It is infinite. It's invincible. Mother's love is intimate. It's personal. But God's love even more intimate. A mother's love is intense and unwavering. But greater still is God's love. A mother's love is sacrificial. But no love is more sacrificial than the love of God. A love that gave His Son for unworthy sinners. A mother's love is patient. I mean, by nature, mothers are more patient than dads. A mother's love is patient and sympathetic. But greater still is God's love. A mother's love is caring. But greater is the care of God. A mother's comfort flows from her love. And so it is with God. God's love is matchless. It cannot be equaled. And so is the comfort that flows from His love. Again, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, He is the God of all comfort. His comfort is personal. He can comfort us all at the same time, but His comfort is personal. It is individual. He takes an individual interest. Again, keep in mind whom God is speaking to. Poor and contrite of spirit, they that tremble at His word. God's love, God's comfort is loving. It's practical. That is, it's relevant. It's broad. Again, 2 Corinthians, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. All our tribulation. God's comfort is broad. It's constant. It's effectual. A mother has the unique ability for attending to little hurts. Little hurts. She has a unique ability. Yet greater still, the comfort of God. A mother comforts by her presence, by her care, by her food, by her words, by her availability, by her protection, by her willingness, by her thoughtfulness and understanding. But greater still is the comfort of God. He comforts by His presence. No one is more present than God. He comforts by His care, by His food, by His words, by His availability, by His protection, by His willingness, by His thoughtfulness, by His understanding. God is the God of all comfort. Now keep in mind who it is that speaks in Isaiah 66, verse 13, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. It's the one that we're introduced to in Isaiah 66 and verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. And then you jump to verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Oh, what a wonder that as immense as God is, that He would stoop to man to comfort him even in his little hurts. So in a world of darkness, storm, and danger, hear God say, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. In a world of fear and dread and alarm and panic, hear God say, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. In a world of ruin, hear God say, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. In a world of pain and loneliness and loss and confusion, we hear God say, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. In a world of infestation, a world of affliction, a world of sickness, in a world of death, hear God say again, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. Again, remember to whom he is speaking. Him that is of a poor and contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. For those individuals, no matter what else is going on, no matter what else is going on around you, there is a matchless stability, assurance, strength, rejuvenation, and hope to be experienced in God's great and matchless love, care, and comfort. There is help in God for the hurting. There is help in God. You will not find the help you need anywhere else. There is comfort in God. In God there is help. In God there is support. In God there is encouragement. In God there is soothing. There is assurance. There's tranquility and contentment in God. Flee to Him. Flee to Him. Draw near to Him. Lean upon Him. Draw from Him. Why? He is the God of all comfort. And near to God is the safest place to be. He is able to comfort us in all our tribulation. Whatever comes today or tomorrow or any other day, hear God say to you and I personally, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. We all need comfort. Don't run to and fro, searching in vain for the comfort that you need. Go directly to God. Don't waste any time. Don't fool around. Move in the direction of God. And you will find comfort in God. Will God tell you what you want to hear? Not necessarily. But you obey what God says, and you will find comfort. We thank God for the mothers that God has given us, for all the comfort that they have given us. But all of that is a mirror to reflect the comfort that only God can give. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand. Brother Larry, lead us in singing.